Mark Twain once said that when there's a gold rush, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. Today, we look at the rapidly evolving markets in the marijuana green rush in our Canna Business Chronicles. Welcome back, everyone. 48 after the hour, and joining us today in our Canna Business Chronicles, we've got Derek Davis, the CEO of California Cannabis CPA. Derek, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me today. Yeah, great to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here because there's so much going on with Prop 64 on the ballot in California for legalization, and we've got these new medical marijuana regulations in California that people are already having to deal with. Give us your perspective on what's going on in California right now and what's most important for these cannabis businesses to pay attention to.
Yeah, definitely. I think with regards to the fall legalization ballot, it appears based on polls that it will probably more likely than not pass. I've seen polls around 58 to 60% approval rating, and generally speaking, the margin of error is around 3%. So even if you take the bottom number, which is 58%, you subtract out 3, it looks like it's going to pass. Specifically with regards to taxes and finances, even though it may be legalized, one thing to make note of is in terms of the 280E tax code, the only real differentiator is if the U.S. government changes it from a Schedule 1 to a Schedule 3. So irrespective of legalization in California, at least at a federal level, businesses, cannabis businesses, or any business that touches the medical marijuana plant or the recreational marijuana plant will still have to have certain tax limitations that are imposed upon them.
So with California Cannabis CPA, how do you help your clients deal with that 280E situation by, I don't know, maybe shifting some of what they're paying for to other services perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. So with specific regards to taxes, the two most important tax court rulings is the CHAMPS and the Vapor Room. What the CHAMP tax court ruling pretty much established is that you can have multiple lines or multiple services that you offer to your patients. And that's how you can allocate some of your overhead costs, such as marketing, sales, administrative type expenses. The other tax court ruling is the Vapor ruling, which unfortunately there's a dispensary up in Northern California that was allocating or over allocating their expenses. And as a result of that, the tax courts pretty much disallowed all the expenses. So what we really help our clients with is proper tax planning and tax compliance. So, you know, it's really important from an entity structure perspective to isolate the business line that's directly touching the cannabis plant. I think that's what generally poses the largest liability, both from an expense perspective as well as a reporting perspective. So it's really important to have, you know, separate business lines with regards to who's touching the plant and what service lines are not touching the plant.
Now, there's all this that these proprietors have to deal with on the federal level, and then you got to deal with state taxes. I recently reported on something happening at the California Board of Equalization that might be some relief to some of these businesses having to do with paying their taxes in cash. Can you give us an update on that?
Yeah, so that's been a big kind of ruling. So, you know, historically what happened is if you owed over $10,000 in taxes, and you pay that within cash, you were being penalized. And you know, I'm sure as you're aware, one of the biggest hurdles that's facing the cannabis industry right now is getting proper banking. I believe I've read a stat that around 70% of cannabis businesses are operating still on a cash basis. So what the recent ruling pretty much said is, you know, they'll try to ease up or eliminate any of the penalties if you pay your taxes in cash.
That's great news for a lot of these people working in these industries. Still sad, though, that they're having to take shopping bags full of cash in to pay their taxes. Is there anything California can do on the state level to help that out?
You know, honestly, it's really hard to say. I think what kind of it comes down to is, you know, FDA, or excuse me, the Federal Depository Insurance line, and I think what that kind of ties into is the fact that because it's still Schedule One drug, I think that's really what's slowing everything down. I think the biggest impediments to that are the 280 tax code, as well as proper research and medicinal and therapeutic properties of the cannabis plant. So it's really hard to say right now. I think it's going to be really interesting to see how the initiative does this November, as well as what rules and regulations are put into place thereafter.
Good point. Now, with so many of these businesses having to work with so much cash, does that put an extra burden on you as a CPA, your company, your people working as CPAs, to have to, double verify or to avoid, any sort of money laundering or issues like that?
I think that's a really good point, and it definitely makes it makes our job a lot more difficult. Because sometimes, especially if the individual or the client's looking to have some sort of financial statements prepared, any sort of reviews, audits, compilations, why that's difficult is because then we have to physically count the cash as well. Whereas historically, if this was any other business line, we could look at cash bank balances and cash statement balances, to verify cash at hand. So, operating in a strict cash business, it just makes specifically for accounting and financial statement preparation, just makes it a lot more harder.
Yeah, undoubtedly so. And we're hoping for some federal relief on this. There are bills in Congress that are looking to add some sort of banking relief, some sort of financial services relief, tax relief. Do you know how your California senators and representatives stand on these, and what success you might think we'd get out of this or the next administration?
Yeah, so I specifically know in California, the Democratic Party recently endorsed the legalization proposal, which is really, really big news for us, and we're really excited about that. In terms of banking, what we're starting to see is more credit unions in Colorado, and as well as Washington and the recreational states, starting to endorse publicly endorse cannabis related companies. But it's really hard to say, and it's, I don't know, with regards to banking in particular, I don't know what types of rules or regulations will really kind of tip the edge where banks will start opening up, business lines to cannabis related companies.
Yeah, it's so difficult, especially after California legalizes here in 2016, and we start opening up what ArcView is going to say is going to be, in the first year alone, a $1.6 billion recreational market growing to $6.5 billion by 2020. Doesn't there have to be a point at which this can't wait any longer?
Yeah, and it's so funny that you say that, because California was the first medical marijuana state in 1996, but we totally dropped the ball in 2010. I don't even, I'm sure you knew that it was on the ballot for full legalization. It didn't even come close to passing. I think the approval was maybe 46%, 47%. But I really am hopeful that California is really kind of the industry leader, simply because we're such a large state. I think I've seen recent stats that have said that, California as a standalone state is maybe the sixth or eighth largest economy in the world. So, I'm really hopeful that, we can start passing some, beneficial regulations and rules and compliance for the cannabis industry, which will then trickle down throughout the remainder of the states.
Derek Davis is the CEO of California Cannabis CPA. And Derek, before we let you go here at the bottom of the hour, let's tell folks how they can get in touch with your company and learn more about cannabis and finance.
Yeah, definitely. So, if you'd like to chat, please check us out. Our website is californiacannabiscpa.com. You can book us on our site, and I'd be happy to set up some time thereafter to chat with you.
Fantastic. Derek Davis, CaliforniaCannabisCPA.com. Check them out and make sure this would be, you know, a good thing even for people who aren't yet in the industry but looking to get into the industry. A stitch in time saves nine. Get the expert consultation you need to make sure that you do this the right way from the beginning. Derek, thanks so much for joining us today and offering us your expertise.
Yeah, thank you as well. And if there's any other tax, finance, or other related questions I can help answer, you know, always feel free to let me know.
Will do. That's all the time we got for hour one today, folks. Thanks for joining us on this podcast. And coming up in hour two, we got more of our highlights from our trip to Seattle Hemp Fest last weekend. The third of my three speeches, my speech at the Kevin Black stage, followed by another example of myself singing with Chief Greenbud on the main stage. After our 20 after break, we'll give you some more music. My favorite band of Seattle Hemp Fest performing one of my favorite songs from the year of my birth. Then we'll wind things up with Martin Lee from Project CBD talking about cannabinoids other than CBD, and Allison Drayson from Edaluz in Washington. For everyone here at CannabisRadio.com, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.